This conference will now be recorded. This conference will now be recorded.
All right, praise God. So, once again, last day characteristics. And as you were hearing, the group that's on Tuesday, every other Tuesday, they were doing this as well. And they were going through, and I'm hoping everybody else is doing this in your homework as well, in which these characteristics, and I was explaining this to my sister earlier, is talking about Christians. And as you look at it, and the reason why we know that, one, the majority of these characteristics in here, the world already was, these negative characteristics. So he's not saying the world used to be this wholesome place and all of a sudden turned bad. And that's what I think some people get confused on. What it's saying is those who are to represent God are going to be displaying this. And it should not be, because in fact, he even ended it with, do not be partners with them. Okay, to avoid them. But unfortunately, a lot of these have become so common, we're not realizing how dangerous that is, and we are allowing them to exist in us. So I'm going to do a review up to where we left off. The first one was lovers of their own selves. And that's when I make myself a factor. Okay, when I make me the foundation or a purpose. And the Bible makes that clear. No. In fact, we are to deny ourselves and let Christ live completely in us. But so lovers of self is one of the dangerous characteristics. And you see a lot of that today, in which that is, we call it self-love, but it's mostly where we almost equalize ourselves with God and we make life our purpose. The second one, even though it was covetous, the real line, NIV has this one right, when it was lovers of money. And that means my stuff represents me. And it shouldn't even be money. It should be lovers of stuff or lovers of materialistic things. And that's when I allow the things that I have to define me. That's when a person will spend $1,000 when they can get the same thing for $30. They'll do the same thing because they think it's going to define them better. It defines, you know, that's what we drive, what we wear, how we look. And I'm talking about and what we spend money on. Thinks it defines us better. And unfortunately, in many cases, we allow that to define us. And some people, you know, let that be their guide instead of us displaying Christ and shining his light. Boastfulness, as a question was asked earlier, is me now displaying me, but displaying me in a way to impress, in a way that credit at least some of the credit goes to me. You know, I think when we do something, especially when we have a talent and we worked hard, we want credit. And boasting somehow is not always going to be said, it's going to be displayed. And unfortunately, that it should never come from us. All the glory to God. I don't care how hard I work, there's nothing I can do without the power, the approval of God. And I have to understand that. So all I'm doing is allowing God to work through me. So boasting is a dangerous one. While proud or pride is where I set a standard or standards. Like we follow the Bible, and a lot of us, even though it tells me to love my enemies, a lot of us say, y'all love them until they, and then you fill in the blanks. That's pride, okay? Anytime you lay any other type of line or description against what God is saying, that's pride. And pride is not a good thing. We live in a country that puts a lot of emphasis on pride, and we should not, right? We are not supposed to be a proud people. We're supposed to be humble. Humble means, God, use me as you see fit and tell me wherever you want me to go and do whatever you want me to do. And I'll do that. Well, pride is, God, I'll do this, but please don't let me work with this person over here because I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean? So that's pride. It's very dangerous. The next one was blasphemers. And that's when you are insulting or showing contempt or especially the lack of reverence for God and anything considered sacred, okay? And what I mean by that is, it doesn't mean if you know, say something bad about Pastor Keith, that's one thing, you can say that about me. But if you say something bad about pastor in itself, the office of the pastor, that's a problem because it's a sacred office. That includes marriage, that includes communion, that includes baptism. These are things that God ordained, that his Bible tells us what to do. And when I distort it, when I add to it or take away from it, when I ignore it, that's blasphemy. Okay. And so in my statements and the things that I do, that's what this person does. And you see that a lot today because, like I said, instead of checking with God, a lot of times we'll do stuff in God's name and we never check to see if it even has anything to do with God. And it's caused a lot of problems in the world. You know what I mean? Where we've added to stuff, and that's blasphemy. Disobedient to their parents. Okay. And the importance of disobedient to parents. Somebody have a question?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
Could you go back to blaspheme? Did you say something about blaspheming pastors?
Not pastors. So when you say, so like I said, you can say something bad about me and I'm a pastor, but when you say something bad about the office of the pastor, like if somebody said no church needs a pastor, that's ridiculous, we can get rid of it. Or if you put somebody in the place of that role without following what Titus and Timothy says should be in that role, does that make sense? Then it's blasphemy. Because you're ignoring, huh?
Is that like putting women in positions as pastors?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because the Bible is very clear. You know, in the Bible, it says that a woman cannot teach or be head over a man. Now, a pastor is a under shepherd of a church. That means he's teaching and the head of that group. Okay. Now, I know we struggle today because you have a lot of women pastors today. But the reason why it can't even be an argument is because the Bible is clear on it. It's not one of those in which it's kind of fuzzy and we can kind of dance around it. It's one that is clear, but we struggle with. So when we just ignore what the Bible says and do it, that's blasphemy.
So if the woman is a pastor and the husband's a pastor, and so if you're a female, you can sit under her, but as a man, you can't.
Right. You can have a woman like Nancy Lee DeMoss has a women's ministry. She's and that's perfect. That's how, you know, and children's ministry. As the Bible shows, Titus shows us that in many cases on teaching the younger ones. But as a man, he gives that specific one, can't teach and can't be the head over.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yep.
And let me get, and just to add to that, I know some people will say, you know, I've heard or I'm under a female pastor and they're like, it's fine. And I get it because I've heard some powerful messages that come from them. But all this is our opinion and ignoring what God said.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all get that? And we tend to, if I think it's OK, even though the Bible says this, I think it's OK. And we tend to then still go with it. Now, how will you answer God when he says, but I told you to do this? And remember the story of Uzzah when the ark was falling. And I use this because it's a clear one that I think all of us on this line would agree. If I saw this sacred thing falling, I think all of us would jump to stop it. While God clearly said, if you touch the ark, you will die. Uzzah probably meant well, still died. And in the same way, we're taking these sacred things of God, adding to it. You can disagree, but you better be in agreement with it. And that's the thing. See, even as a pastor, it's never a debate because I can go, and I always say this to anybody, if you can show me clearly in God's word where he says it's okay to do it, I'm all for it. Okay. But if you're giving me historical or intellectual or any other type of evidence, then that becomes dangerous. Okay. And that's where we want to be careful of that. So we blaspheme more than what we think when we distort God, when God gives a clear instruction on how to do something and we do it in any other way, that's blasphemy. Okay. And remember, y'all take yourselves off of mute when you have a question. So if you have a question, just take it off of mute and then say, Pastor, I have a question.
So where does that put the female pastor in relation to scripture as to, I don't know how to say it, how it positions them as, you know, being a pastor and a Christian and their walk and everything. Is there any scripture? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, I mean, because they're just, you know, they're, because of that, they're in disobedience. Okay? And because they're in the disobedience, that's a problem in itself. If, remember, we in 1 John, we just finished that Bible study. And it basically said, if I'm still walking in darkness, then I'm not in the light. Okay? So that's a problem in itself. Secondly, he gives that as a safety because Ephesians 4, Timothy, where it talks about the qualifications of a pastor, and same thing with Titus. If we're not following these instructions, then we're not under the true protection and guidance that God gave. Even though on the surface, it may look to me, no, it looks like it's fine. You know what I mean? It looks like it's working. There's going to be that element of faith that we're missing because we're not following God. We're doing it based on sight. By sight, it looks like it's fine. But by faith, there's a problem because he didn't say that. And I'm not going to argue with God. I may not fully agree with it, but I better be in agreement with it because he's the way. And that's the thing of it. So I can't say what's going to happen to him or what's not. We just know it's something that the Bible clearly says not to do, and they are doing it. To help?
Yes.
Okay. I know it's a tough subject, but it's in the Bible. And it's something that as a pastor, it's my responsibility to only present what the word says, not to change it for people's desires or anything like that. But I get it. It's a tough one. So that's blasphemy. Okay. And the next one is disobedient to parents, and specifically disobedient to parents, because that's the foundation of where it goes from there. And this one message is more for the parents than it is for the children. Even though it's a command for the children, it's telling the parents to raise the children in a godly authority. We start raising our kids in a building them up in themselves. And just saying that sounds great, doesn't it? And we do. We build them up to be, you know, strong in themselves, to be independent, to not listen to anybody. We even give them choices. Do you understand that? Where, like I said, when it comes to eating and stuff like that, we can make something and they say they don't want it. And we'll go, what do you want? The problem is now when they grow up and it's time to go to God, and then God gives them a certain thing in their life and they go, I don't want it. God's not going to go, well, what do you want? And that's the problem. And this is why a lot of younger people are growing up without a relationship with God, because they don't like the relationship, because we didn't raise them in a relationship of authority. Authority is such an important thing. Now, I'm not talking about worldly authority, which lords over. And you got a lot of those parents that just boss their kids just because they can. That's wrong. That's abuse. Okay, that should not be existing. But it's a understanding of roles, a recognition and a respect of the position in there. And this is why, you know, sometimes when parents get this in there with their kids and they become the best friend thing, that can be dangerous, because there is a responsibility of authority before in teaching them the authority of God. So that's why that one's so important. Unthankful speaks for itself. And we see that not only in words, but we see that as well as in actions as well. You know, I mean, we're too busy looking at, well, why did they get that? You know, we have a car that gets us from point A to point B, where we're every day complaining about the car because we wanted this car instead, or a house and we don't like this. And sometimes we'll break ourselves instead of getting what God gives us the finances to get. There's a lot of ways we show our lack of thankfulness to him. So it comes in different ways. Unholy is not being godly. And simply put, if you want to know if you're being holy or not, it's exactly like what Sister Karen was just asking. In like, use that. If I take something and I'm doing it in God's name, but I can't show you it in the Bible, or even worse, I can show you there's just the opposite in the Bible, it's not holy. And please understand that. Remember, in the Old Testament, it gives us the perfect physical representation. And if they were to add or take away from the stuff God said, and you go to Deuteronomy 27 and Deuteronomy 28. 27 shows the blessings that they would get if they would just follow God completely, but 28 showed the curses that would come upon them if they did not. And in many cases, the biggest thing that's missing today is reverence in God. We tend to take stuff that God gives us and do it our way. And the danger is, if you did that In the Old Testament, you would have got stoned to death. You would have died. Things would have happened, just like you said, like I showed with Uzzah. So in the same way, we have to be holy. We are to be holy people. And then without natural affection, and like I said, the word we know as love, okay, is agape. That's godly conditioned. It's based on that love. But there's three other types of love that the Bible really kind of leans to. Two of them that the actual words are in it, and that's Philadelphia, and that's the relationship between two Christians. Okay, that love is between two Christians. And then you have the stergo love, or astergo, which means natural love, or that's a condition, cause that's my brother, cause that's my sister love. And he's saying in this time, people are even lacking that. And that's a lower love than agape love. He's saying, and we're seeing that. Now, we use that because you see that with abortion, but you also see how people are treating their parents, but you see how children are parents are treating their children. When I raise them, and please understand this, a big form of that is spoiling your kids. If you spoil them, you're abusing them. And we see that in the Bible tells us that in many places. So that's not showing a natural love. So be careful. Don't mean, it doesn't mean natural to the culture. It means what a parent is supposed to do to take care and protect their kid. Sometimes we overgive and we put them in a very dangerous position. We don't discipline them. That's this as well. Then you have, I want to make sure I get to the traders. So I think that's where, was that the last one we, we're past. Okay, so truce breakers are the ones where they hold grudges. And unfortunately, you have some that don't want you to apologize. You have some that just want to be mad at you. That's huge, okay? When you want to hold a grudge. And you have Christians that walk around with a grudge. The person's saying, I apologize, or they don't know what they did, but you're too busy treating them cold because of you. Now, if you're one of them people and you just come off with it, well, that's just me, that's not good enough. Do you understand that? This is why, like I say, we have to deny ourselves in order to live as God says. So you gotta let that go. Those grudge and attitude having, you cannot have. Then you see false accusers. And false accusers are those who say things about somebody without knowing anything or for the wrong intent. Okay? You're slandering them. Okay, and that's when my purpose is for the wrong purpose, or when I gossip. You understand that? I'm putting things out there that I'm not fully sure of, you know, once again, with the wrong intent. And then you have the incontinent, and that plainly put, without self-control. Understand, we know the verse, and one of the verses in the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we know that verse, but then how come when we mess up, we go, oh, I couldn't help it? And you see the problem there. We like to say these things when it benefits us, but then when we feel all puffed up in ourselves, I can do all things, and you can do all things, okay? But reason why, we all have self-control, we just don't do it. That's why you can't say I couldn't help it. You say I didn't help it, all right? We don't make mistakes, we make bad decisions because we have the spirit that gives us self-control if you're a Christian. So the only excuse is you ignore that power that he has given you. And then we had fierce, and that's why I have in the parentheses 2 Peter 2:12 and Jude 10, because that was going off of instinct when people respond off their instinct. You know, when we talk about fear, if you ever got a chance to listen to the last sermon when we did concerning weakness, fear and wisdom, when you react out of fear, you react out of instinct. That's why people say, you know, fight or flight. Some people are going to react one way, some people are going to react the other way. When a person's reacting out of wisdom, he's thinking it through. And when I say thinking it through, even before incidents happen, they're preparing themselves. We got the wisdom, we got the things that God has given us. The reason why you're in Bible study is to learn how to be spiritual and prepare for any situation, while other people are just going, I wish somebody would. You know, we have that mentality of how you're going to respond, and then your reflex happens. You react based off of instinct. That's what this word is. No Christian should be reacting off of their instinct. And then it says, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. And that, once again, and unfortunately, that's kind of mixed up because culture has handed us things that it called good, and they're not always what God calls good. So be careful of that, okay? Because culture and just the time that we're in has said, this is good, and this is good. And then when you dislike it, they think this is you. No. Only God is good. Remember when the rich man came to him and said, good teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? And Christ said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And then that understanding, so things that are godly. And when this is despiser of things that are godly, doesn't mean you'll say you hate it. You just will react as if you hate it. Like the Bible's clear on how sex should be. Let's give it a good example. And people are just ignoring that like crazy, right? Where this is nothing, you know, so you're a despiser of good. That's a simple. So in other words, when the Bible clearly says something and I do it some other way, I'm a despiser of good. So that's where we last left off. So the next one is traitor. Okay. And you may think, okay, how does that work in our walk with Christ? So as a traitor, and the Greek word, and when it says giving forward into enemy's hands, a surrender. Now, look what I have over on the right. Spiritually irresponsible. Easily swayed. Here's an example. Your brother is caught in a sin. He refuses to stop. Now, 1 Corinthians 5:9-11. You get a chance to read that. I'm going to say it again. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11, tells us how we're supposed to deal with our brothers if they're caught in a sin. Unfortunately, because we mix our spiritual walk with our fleshly desires, a lot of people will ignore that. What that verse tells us to do, if there's a Christian that's caught in a sin and has no intention on stopping, we are to disassociate. Everybody get that? In other words, and disassociating means I'm supposed to say to them, while you're still doing that, we can't be. And that's a responsibility of a Christian. We cannot be as long as you're still into that. The minute you want to stop, I'm here to help you. I'm here. I'm going to do everything I can. But if you're going to continue to do that, we can't be. That's a God-given command on how we're supposed to deal with that. You'll get Christians today that'll go, no, that's my boy, man. We grew up together, so I'm never going to turn my back, they'll call it, or never. And now we just made up our own personal love. That's called a traitor. Because now you're doing it your way instead of what God says. Do you understand? That's an example. Because to my viewpoint, it looks better if this works out. I'm going to do it this way. It's like what we were talking about in the church. I'm not going to lie, I struggle because, like I said, there's some, in my viewpoint, some churches with women pastors that look great and it looks like everything's going well. But who am I? If I just go, you know what, do it, follow it, it's all good. Now, what I have done is telling God, well, God, you must have missed this one. That's a traitor. That's what this one is saying. It's when I am in another way turning with something that doesn't agree with me, even though everything we do, we must be in agreement with God. All right. Keep that in mind, because it happens in some little things if we don't watch things very carefully. Things mean a lot to us. You know what I mean? In the wrong way. I brought this up many times. There's a verse in the Bible that it says, if you don't discipline your child, it means you hate your child. Another verse that says, anyone, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy to God. But you watch people and their relationship with their children and their relationship with the world does exactly what he said is hatred. And we continue to do it. Why? Because, well, I've done it and it's worked and it seems like everything is good. And it seems like, do you see where I'm going with this? We go off of sight. The Bible is very clear, walk by faith, not by sight. But we tend to let our sight sometimes distort what he said. I know it's easy to do, and that's what this, why he's calling this terrible times. You're going to see some things that the Bible clearly says, but you're going to sit there and you're going to go, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to me. So you're easily swayed. That's a traitor. And then you have the next one, which was heady. Okay. And heady, I think the NIV did a better word on that, and that's rash. And that's acting before thinking. If you know in James, where it tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, what that verse is showing us and what the rest of the Bible shows us is use your self-control in dealing with things. As a counselor, many times people will come in and they'll give me the gist of what we're going to talk about. And in my mind, I'll probably think, oh, man, they're wrong. If I would just react when they come in and go, first of all, let me tell you how wrong you are. You'll know how many times I would have been made to look like a fool. Because when I was slow to speak and quick to listen and I really got the entire story, then it changed. You understand that? And a lot of times we react. We're impulsive. We allow something to get to us. Instead of loving, if that makes sense. When I was in college, there was a gentleman, and the problem is he had very racist views. And I remember he said something that was very insulting. Now, and I was just a young Christian at the time, so I could use that as my excuse to respond in a worldly way. However, it was still a time that was something that I was really growing in. And when he did it, I got a chance to approach him and say something to him. And in that, as time went on, I got more and more out of him of, well, that's how I was raised. And I mean, from that point on, he would see me on campus, he would stop, he would talk to me. And I'm not saying he completely changed or anything like that. I had a moment to minister instead of responding to my feeling. You understand? I'm not going to lie. The feeling was to do something with what he said. And I think a lot of us would do it. And I think a lot of us would justify it. But he told me to love my enemy. And I remember my response to him is, what's, you know, and I went to him as gentle as I could with a, what is the problem? what was done to you by, and as he kind of went into the conversation and we talked about it and he showed his influences and we talked a lot and he wanted to learn, we'd stop and he'd say, hey, you got some time to talk? And it was something that I had to really make sure I'm responding in God's love. So a person who's heady or rash, as it says on the right-hand side, doesn't think things through, just reacts. They're emotionally led. If you look around today, emotion plays a very big part in our world today. It does. And it's not like it's something new. It's just we gave it more freedom. We've allowed it more. That's why more people are depressed. It's not because this new disease of depression has grown. It's because we've given it more of a say. Okay? We allow how we feel to dictate even over what he says. Right? And that's a problem. All right? You're always going to feel. I don't care how strong and how mature you become as a Christian, you're going to feel. That's the flesh. But we always got to succumb to what he says and make sure we're following Christ and not what we feel. Okay? Very important. Then the next one was high-minded. High-minded. And the word for this means to envelop with smoke, but it means self-conceit. We use the term puffed up, if that means, you know, and as I have in the right-hand side, it says thinking highly of self, not measured by what God says, but by how you perceive you or allow others to perceive you. Poor parenting will raise a child with this self-focus, product of worldly relationship. A Christian that reaches the point that Paul did in Romans 7, when he went, what a wretched man I am. When I recognize that, that's the point all Christians are to be. Now, I know some people are going, no, I'm going to feel, I got to feel, you know, that self-love. I got to feel strong about myself. No, 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 no. We love God. It shows true self, true love for self. But it lets us know the most dangerous thing to me is me. That is the main weapon Satan uses against me, is me. If you get a chance, look in Genesis. That's what he used against Eve. And then what he tried to use against Jesus. You remember in Matthew 4, when he would come to Jesus, he would go, if you really are the Son of God. And then he would say the certain things he's going to do for him, trying to get his desire out. Some cases he tried to insult him. He even went after his physical weakness. Remember, he didn't eat for 40 days. And then he was like, hey, turn the stone to bread. He was using everything to use him against him. And Jesus didn't go, man, I got to be strong. I got to be strong. What he said was, it is written. Because his strength is in God. Do you understand that? My strength is not in me. No, Keith didn't practice for many years to be really strong, to overcome, and I can do this. That's all great. And it reaches a limited point. But a person who completely relies on God has complete protection. Very important for us to keep that in mind. So high-minded is dangerous. Anybody who thinks high of themselves, even as a pastor, I have to realize I'm a servant. And too many times I think sometimes we can be put on a pedestal. And that really not only puts us in danger, it puts the congregation in danger. If I ever get up there with a pastor said mentality, I'll start ignoring some of the word, adding some of the word, making sure y'all praise me. And that's dangerous. And it exists a whole lot more than what you think. Well, in reality, I'm responsible for. So there's a difference than getting the praise of I'm the master and all this. No, to where you're responsible for them. Have you ever, anybody who had younger siblings and which when your parents said you go out and then told the oldest one and you keep an eye on so and such, you know what I mean? And if something happened to that younger one, they would say to the older one, why would you let that happen to them, right? Because they're responsible for. So that's a whole difference than telling the younger one, make sure you bow down, make sure you praise your older brother. That's not what they say, right? They may tell them to listen, but they're telling the older one, you're responsible for. High-minded is an understanding of I'm just a servant. And thank you, God, for allowing me to serve. Not, oh, he picked me because I'm the best man for the job. Y'all get that? There's a verse that says he didn't pick the people that the world calls the highest. He didn't pick the smartest. He didn't pick the strongest. He picked the things that the world looked down on in order to actually go against those things that are high-minded. So be careful, because we have a lot of people who think very high of themselves, think you should think the same way for them. You better show me respect. You know how we do that mentality? Instead of realizing, I'm just a servant, right? That's all I am. I'm just a servant. And then it goes and it ends it with lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. Okay. And the Greek word is broken up into fond of pleasure, and even comes from the word voluptuous, and that's what that means. But and then and fond of God, okay, which you can see the philotheos. The philotheos means a lover of God. So it's saying I'm a philidonis, that means I'm a lover of the things I desire instead of lovers of God. Now let's be very honest here, okay? Many things that God tells us is going to go against what you like. Say that again. Many things that God tells us is going against what you like. Now, he's not talking about the feeling that you have. It's going to be your reaction. Are you going to do what he says, or are you going to do what you like? That's why I have on the right-hand side, full of, characterized by, or ministering to, indulging in luxury. Okay? That's when a person overdoes it to fulfill self. It goes on saying pleasure and sensuous enjoyment instead of glorifying God. Remember that verse is, whatever you do, whatever you eat or drink, make sure it's glorifying God. Do it all to glorify God. It shows that this person who's a lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God, you live for how you feel, not by what he says. You pursue feeling good instead of being good. And that's why you'll go to a church to make you feel good, not a church that makes you be good. See, feeling good feels so much better than being good. See, when I'm told to be good, I have to adjust things. I have to be self-controlled. I have to not accept certain things. Yep, there's going to be some disappointments. I have to count it pure joy when I go through trials. But when I'm feeling good, there won't be any trials. I don't have to be around people. I can puff myself up. I can do whatever feels good, and I'll do it. And that's leading to destruction. A lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God is something that exists so much, and we don't realize how much we give into that. And like I said, you'll see it in action. You have people that go to church regularly, but their lifestyle, and this is all, remember, this is your homework, is your lifestyle that where you're doing everything to display to God? That if God came to you and said, what you just did represents me, and he should be saying that with everything that you do. And remember, it has to be based on the Bible. Be careful not to make up some old self-righteous thing, which some people do, and they'll say, I'm doing this for God. And God's like, I didn't ask you to go that far. All right. He's saying, I gave you specific instructions and boundaries and ways to do it that it glorifies me. Do that. Or are you one of those that say amen and you go out in the streets and do whatever you want and say, God wants me to be happy, even though that's not what the word says. Not in that way. Okay. And we'll close on this, on these last ones, because then we'll go into the how to avoid this, God willing, next week. First of all, it's saying they have the form of godliness, but denying the power. Okay, now that's very important. This is the other verse, the other part of this passage that shows this is talking about Christians, in which I want to look the part, but my life shows I'm not living it. Okay, and you see the word form comes from the word that we know is metamorphosis, this morphosis. And it's showing, I want to make you see me as what a Christian's supposed to be. So I'll carry the Bible. You know, we get, you know, a lot of times we'll wear the suit. I'll wear the suit. Some will wear the cross, right? I want to give the perception of being a Christian. But when it says, you know, when I have the perception of godliness, right, but denying the power, I'm not living it. Power in God's word is me depending on him no matter what. There are many times I fully listened to what the word said, and by sight, it looked like it didn't work. And when it came time to do it again, guess what I did? Fully did what the word said. Now, I felt frustrated. I felt all that. But me, I'm living by the power if that happened. Does that make sense? And I wish I did it all the time. And that's the problem. And that's what we're saying on this, where you really do the power. You'll do exactly what the word says, no matter how it looks. That's why on the right-hand side, that says, wants to be seen as a Christian, but does not live by faith. You clearly know what the Bible says, but don't live it, is denying the power. Okay? And that's why I have under there, avoiding instruction from God so you don't have to do it, right? Or receiving instruction from God with very little or no intent on doing it. Like the first group, when I say avoiding instruction, you either not go to church or avoid other things that church offers, or when you do go to church, you're not paying attention anyway. right? I'm just here, but I'm at church. You know, mark me present as if it's in school, right? Because you already have life figured out. Or you will go, you'll receive the instruction, you get puffed up by the knowledge, but you yourself are not doing it. Now, all these characteristics, as you can see, should not exist in the Christian body, but unfortunately it does. And especially if it's us, praise God that we're hearing it, because then we can check ourselves and through God's Holy Spirit, eliminate it, right? His Spirit gives us everything we need to do to go away from it. So God willing, next week, as we go on to the next, as we go on to finish up the rest of what this is saying, what we will get a chance to see is the next chapter, which talked about how we've distorted the word and the people that preach the word to help us to do what this one is doing. So I, once again, put the challenge out there for you to check every characteristic, make sure it's not defining you. And once again, if you have a true prayer partner, they're going to be the person that loves you enough to tell you the truth, not based on them and not based on you. It'll be fully based on God. And they're going to be gentle as they do it. Do you understand that? And that's something we all should be able to do. So look at these, make sure it's not you. And then as we go into next week, we're going to first get an understanding of how we're accomplishing this terrible time and this terrible thing, and then what we need to do in order for us not to be this. Any questions?
No, but I have a prayer request for the ending prayer.
Okay.
For Tyrell, he's still in the hospital, and he had two blood transfusions, and they're waiting for the cultures to come back. And his mother, she's not allowed to visit him because of the COVID-19 going on, so she's a little stressed about that.
Got it. All right, we will do that. Any other ones? Okay. All right, let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, dear God, we give you the glory and the praise, and we thank you for revealing and showing us the things that we need to be, and having the patience and the mercy to give us chance after chance, dear God. Help us to just get into that grace you have given us, which teaches us how to live the way we're supposed to live. Help us to grow in this together, looking out for one another in true godly love, dear Lord. Help us to examine ourselves to make sure we're doing what we need to, dear Lord, because we know the time is short. We ask for special prayer, dear God, for Tyrell and his family and just what he's going through. We ask you to guide the doctors, the medication, whatever it may take, but all the glory to you, whatever it may take to get him well, dear Lord. We also ask blessings on the family for baby Jack and what they're going through, and just the what the doctors are putting as insight. We once again give the glory to you. However you see fit, we ask you to give them comfort, give them strength, show them you, dear Lord, in this. And continual blessings on Sister Paula and her family, and Sister Nancy and her family as well, and Sister Layla in that healing process as well. We have many that may be going through some struggles, and those that we may not even know what they're going through, but you know, dear God. So we hand them to you, and we ask you to guide them, strengthen them in it, show them what they need to gain out of it, dear God. Help them to trust and lean upon you. Allow us to, when somebody's going through this, realize that they are not in it alone. Help us to make sure we realize that is our responsibility, to make sure we are a part to help them to go through it. We love you and we thank you, dear God, and we want to represent you in all that we do. So as we close tonight, and as we continue to go through this process, and with everybody going through the COVID-19, dear Lord, we ask you to just show us how we shine our light during this cloudy time, and how we're supposed to grow in it and not let it affect us. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you continue to do, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say, amen.
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 Love you all.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.